Thank you. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Grant, O merciful God, that your church, being gathered together in unity by your Holy Spirit, may show forth your power among all peoples to the glory of your name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the book of Isaiah. If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places, and make your bones strong, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. If you refrain from trampling the Sabbath, from pursuing your own interests on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, serving your own interests, or pursuing your own affairs, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride upon the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of your ancestor Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
Please join me in reading from Psalm 103. We're going to do this antiphonally. This side of the church reads the first and odd-numbered verses. The choir side reads the even-numbered verses. And here we go. Bless the Holy One, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless God's holy name. Bless the Holy One, O my soul, and forget not all the gifts of God. O God, you forgive all our sins, and you heal all our infirmities.
You redeem our life from the grave, and crown us with mercy and loving kindness.
You satisfy us with good things, and our youth is renewed like an eagle's. O God, you execute righteousness and judgment for all who are oppressed. You made your ways known to Moses and your works to the children of Israel.
You are full of compassion and mercy, slow to anger, and of great kindness.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. You have not come to something that can be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that not another word be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given. If even an animal touches the mountain, it shall be stoned to death. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See that you do not refuse the one who is speaking, for if they did not escape when they refused the one who warned them on earth, how much less will we escape if we reject the one who warns from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of what is shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us give thanks, by which we offer to God an acceptable worship with reverence and awe. For indeed, our God is a consuming fire. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
Teach us the truth and help us be free. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites! Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. 18 years is a long time to suffer. Ask anyone who lives with a chronic disease or condition. Imagine what it was like for the woman we encounter in this morning's gospel reading. For 18 years, she suffered from some sort of debilitating condition that caused her to be bent over. We don't know anything more about her condition, or about her, for that matter. We don't know what brought her to the synagogue that day. Perhaps it was her custom to worship there on the Sabbath. Perhaps her family had brought her with them. Did she come with the explicit hope of being healed of her disease? The text does not say. What we do know is that something extraordinary happened when she encountered Jesus in the synagogue. The text makes it clear that the woman received healing in two different senses. First and most obviously, her body was restored to a state of health. That is, she received what we might call a physical cure. But second, and of equal, if not more importance, she was restored to a state of wholeness, of connection to her community. There are several striking things about this episode in the healing ministry of Jesus. First, unlike many of the other healing encounters in the Gospels, there is no explicit request for healing here. Jesus takes the initiative. He notices the woman's need. Neither she nor anyone else brings it to his attention. Second, there's no invocation, no petition, no explicit prayer for healing. Jesus simply states, as a matter of fact, not as a request to God, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." And she is. She stands up straight for the first time in 18 years and praises God. Just like that. No wonder the crowd rejoiced at all the wonderful things that he was doing. If only it were always that simple. Of course, not all healings are as dramatic as this one, and not all healings involve a physical cure. But what healing always does involve is restoration to a state of wholeness. It is entirely possible for someone to be healed, that is, to gain a sense of wholeness, of deep peace, of shalom, even when a cure for the underlying condition is not possible. In his exchange with the leader of the synagogue, who criticizes Jesus for the work of healing on the Sabbath, Jesus refers to the woman as a daughter of Abraham. This is not just a throwaway line. Rather, it is a profound statement of inclusion, connection, and belonging to a broader community. It is important to remember that in first century Palestine, illness of any sort was widely believed to be the result of sin, either that of the person who was ill or of a relative. Accordingly, it was assumed that if someone was suffering in body, mind, or spirit, it was because of sin. The suffering were typically shunned, excluded from the community. So to be chronically ill at that time and in that place was to experience a form of social death. Healing thus involved more than the quest for a cure. It also required restoration of the social relationships that bound people to one another and to their community. Now, I point this out because I believe this is still the case today, right here in Davis, California. What I mean by this is that the experience of being ill, whether the particular illness involves body, mind, and/or spirit, is often profoundly isolating and marginalizing. It can feel like a form of social death, a sense of being alone, forgotten, of being left behind by those who do not face these particular challenges. Anything that we can do to help people living with illness of any sort to remember that they are cherished just as they are, in sickness and in health, is truly the work of healing. And it is work to which we are all called by virtue of our baptism. There are many ways to be instruments of healing, to cultivate the connections that can help restore people to a sense of wholeness in body, mind, and spirit by reminding them that they are perfect in God's sight and part of the beloved community. So here are a few ways that you can be an instrument of healing. Reach out to someone you haven't seen for a while and let them know that you're thinking about them and that you wish them well. Write a note of care. That could be a physical handwritten card, it could be a text, it could be an email. But write that note and encouragement to remind them that they have not been forgotten. Use your gifts of creativity to knit, crochet, or sew blankets or small fleece healing hearts for people who need a tangible expression of God's love. In case you're wondering what a healing heart is, this is what they look like. You can help with this by participating in our prayer shawl ministry. Accompany our Eucharistic visitors when they bring communion to those who cannot worship with us in person. We know that where two or three are gathered in Christ's name, he is in the midst of them. Make this a reality for our homebound parishioners by helping bring church to them. Join the St. Martin's Messengers Ministry, which delivers copies of our weekly service bulletins and sermons to parishioners who cannot access our online services. And last, but by no means least, I invite you to step out of your comfort zone and make a new connection with someone you don't already know. The pandemic has accelerated the trend towards people bowling alone, to use the phrase coined by political scientist Robert Putnam. Paradoxically, we are now more likely than ever to stay home, glued to our screens, even as we yearn for more meaningful connections in real life. It is human nature to long to know and to be known. A significant body of medical research points to the negative consequences of this kind of social isolation, especially as we age. Now more than ever, we must work to cultivate connection and combat isolation. If you would like to do this here at church, I suggest you offer to host a social gathering through our Place at the Table program. You get to choose the date, time, location, size, and style of your gathering. Folks have done everything from casual potlucks and barbecues to more formal sit-down dinners. Think about ways to broaden your interactions beyond church and home and work and school to your neighborhood, your community. There are so many possibilities. You could volunteer with STAKE, Davis Community Meals and Housing. You could deliver meals to shut-ins through Meals on Wheels, just to name a few. One of my great joys as a deacon at St. Martin's is connecting people who want to help others to the church ministries and community organizations that need their particular gifts and skills. I would love to listen with each of you for where and how the Holy Spirit is calling you personally to cultivate connection and help bring healing to a broken world. Amen. Please stand as you are able and join me as we affirm our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray for the Church and for the world.
Grant, Almighty God, that all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Guide the people of this land and of all the nations in the ways of justice and peace, that we may honor one another and serve the common good. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give us all a reverence for the earth as your own creation, that we may use its resources rightly in the service of others and to your honor and glory. Lord, in your mercy, bless all whose lives are closely linked with ours, and grant that we may serve Christ in them and love one another as he loves us. Lord, in your mercy, comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. We pray especially for those on our parish pray list. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We commend to your mercy all who have died, that your will for them may be fulfilled. And we pray that we may share with all your saints in your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy,
hear
our prayer. O God, whose blessed Son made himself known to his disciples in the breaking of bread, open the eyes of our faith, that we may behold him in all his redeeming work, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor.
Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Savior, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through the grace of Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The peace of Christ be always with you.
And also with you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Our yellow sheet is very full, and lots more announcements are online. I do want to go over a few things. After church today, after this service, Ernie is giving a presentation in the parish hall, and I don't think you want to miss it. It's about the whole situation that we're learning about in order to go to on a pilgrimage to Tule Lake. That is the, I always want to get the name of this right, the Tule Lake War Relocation Segregation Center. So 120,000 people of Japanese descent in the Western U.S. were imprisoned in concentration camps in remote areas beginning in 1942. So most of us know a little bit about that. I think many of us feel like we could learn a lot more about that today, and also the pilgrimage are an opportunity to do that. And I hope you will take a look at all of that information and join us after church if you can. We have a lot of education opportunities that we've been talking about and that we're getting organized. I think really many of these things kind of go along with that idea of what Margaret was talking about healing a hurting world. The more you know and the more you learn, for instance, through the racial reconciliation training, through this pilgrimage, other things that we're offering that are here in your yellow sheet. We talked a lot during the summer about starting Education for Ministry, restarting it here at St. Martin's. We're still going to do that, but that's going to be starting in January. Meanwhile, this fall, we are looking to start another Sacred Ground Circle. Carol Hom and I are hoping to lead that together, and there's information about that in here. If you have not taken Sacred Ground, I highly recommend it. It is a fairly large commitment of time and energy, but it's really worthwhile. And we have lots of ways to give you more information before you make that decision or to just talk with you about it. So please take a look at that. Coming up soon, in just a couple of weeks, I can't believe it, we kick off our program year. So that means on September 7th, we're going to have one service here at the 10 o'clock on Sunday. We are going to have an ice cream social after. We're going to give a tour of certain places on our church campus that you may not have been to or you may learn more about by showing up for the tour. There's an open house for Godly Play. Godly Play starts that day. Our sanctuary choir comes back in full. So it's going to be a really wonderful day, and I hope everyone will be here for that and maybe bring a friend. We have Godly Play starting that day, even though it's a first Sunday. And so for those of you who kind of are used to our first Sunday tradition of we don't have Godly Play, we really make a point to make that first Sunday service more intergenerational or kid-friendly, that's still going to happen, but it's switching days. So starting this September, our first Sunday services, as we've known them, are moving to the fourth Sunday of the month. We'll make sure that we keep repeating that, we keep sharing that information, but I wanted to give you a heads up now. So we still have three Sundays a month when there's Godly Play. We have one Sunday a month, usually, where there's something different happening in this service. And that pattern is still happening, it's just moving around a little bit. I see that back there we have our ushers. If you are new here, if you are visiting there, I don't know if I see visitors, but if I'm missing somebody, please raise your hand so that our usher can bring you a goodie bag. There are no strings attached, but it has information about the church, it has chocolate, it has other fun things in it. So do raise your hand so our ushers can find you. I think that was most of what I wanted to say that is in our yellow sheet. You may have seen the notice that we're taking some pictures today. Gabe has a good camera and is a great photographer, and so he's been doing that for us when we have time. Excuse me, I was thinking about it, and on September 7th, we're going to have, I hope and believe, a packed house. And it'd be great if we could have some good pictures taken then. If you have a camera, I mean, everybody has a camera with their iPhones or their smartphones, almost everybody, and those can be very good. Even higher resolution pictures are better. But if you like taking pictures, if you think that's something you might want to do, or even if you just try it out without sort of officially raising your hand and then talk to Gabe or the office about sharing some of those, it'd be really nice to get some more pictures of us in church and outside of church as we move forward into this new season. Finally, I did want to say that as Dean of the Wingfield Deanery, I have been getting updates about the picket fires. So our diocese has a disaster relief office or resilience office. They are on top of that. They're checking out, you know, where the evacuation zones are. They're touching base with different rectors. Right now, I think St. Luke's Calistoga, last I heard, was the closest to any evacuation zone. So you might want to, well, keep everyone in your prayers. But that's really all we know right now is what the general public knows. And right now, all that's really needed is prayer. We had one celebration and milestone this morning. Sherry Reynolds has officially begun her retirement or partial retirement, but I don't think we had any sent in. Are there any celebrations or milestones that you would like to share this morning? Diane? Ah! A daughter, that's Emily, right? Emily finally got engaged. And I didn't say the finally, that was from her mother. That's wonderful, congratulations. Sarah? Another engagement, oh, how lovely. Anyone else have a celebration or milestone you want to? Okay, well, I am going to invite Anthony Amato to come up here. Most of you know Anthony as our seminarian, and he's been a guest preacher a couple of times this summer, which has been wonderful. And he is about to head back to Virginia Theological Seminary to begin his second year of his, I always get this wrong, it's an MDiv. Yeah. You're getting an MDiv officially now, okay? you can tell it's been a long time since I was in seminary. And so since you have to head back, we want to just have a moment to acknowledge everything you've been doing, your wonderful work with the San Francisco Night Ministry. I think you've opened up a lot of our eyes about a program that many of us didn't even know about. I didn't know about it. And that's where you've been able to do some hands-on theological training and work this summer. So it's really admirable. It's really exciting that you get to go back to VTS. It's such a wonderful, wonderful school and program that you're in. And I know you are contributing a lot to them. So it's really a blessing. May I say a blessing? Gracious God, we thank you for the gift of Anthony and for all he brings to our church, for his willingness to answer your call, to listen and go where you lead him, and to bring back so many of his gifts into the world. Anthony, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and bring you peace. Amen. Thank you. All right, we have communion on both sides. Oh, I didn't do the celebrations and milestones prayer. Will somebody start it off for me?
Watch over
our children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up when they fall. And in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our communion is at the altar rail. You can choose which side. On this side, we will be doing intinction, where we dip the bread into the wine and hand that to you. And on this side, we'll have the bread and the chalice separate. You come forward as the ushers let you know when it's time to head toward the back of the altar rail and fill in. And if you can't come forward, just let an usher know so that we can bring communion to you. Our communion bread is gluten-free, it's vegan, and we want it to be available to everyone. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God.
Yeah.
The Creator be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them to the Creator.
Let us give thanks to our loving God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
Praise and thanks are yours, our creating God. From the dust of the earth, you shaped human beings in your own image, and you filled the earth and seas and skies with a myriad of wonders. Yet we consistently turn your generosity into our scarcity, your elegance into our meanness, and your simplicity into our corruption. Though we poison and destroy your good creation, you continue to offer us your abundance. In your mercy, you have redeemed us through your Son, Jesus, transforming death into life. Through the Spirit, you continue to call us into covenant with you for the restoration of creation and the reconciliation of all people. And so we give you thanks, rejoicing with all of creation as we join the saints and angels in their unending hymn. In the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and gave thanks to God. He broke the bread, gave it to his friends, and said, "Take and eat, for this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." He took the wine and gave thanks to God, Creator. He gave it to his friends, saying, "This is my blood of the new covenant, shed for you and for all creation for the forgiveness of sins. Every time you drink of the wine, do this in remembrance of me." So we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Merciful God, we come to this table seeking reconciliation with you, with one another, and with all creation. Through these mysteries, reconcile us to our world and empower us to restore your creation and fulfill your will. Send your life-giving Spirit upon us and upon this bread and wine, that they may be the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Stir in us the creative and redeem the destructive. Heal your stricken world that the soil, the skies, and the seas may be filled with your life anew. Fill every heart with the sure and certain hope that we shall enter the fullness of your joy when your whole creation is justified by faith and sanctified by love, and you are all in all. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, everlasting God, now and forever. Amen. And now first in Spanish and then in English, let us pray as our Savior Christ has taught us. Padre nuestro, que estás en el cielo, santificado sea tu nombre, venga tu reino, hágase tu voluntad, en la tierra como en el cielo. Danos hoy nuestro pan de cada día. Perdona nuestras ofensas, como también nosotros perdonamos a los que nos ofenden. No nos dejes caer en tentación, y líbranos del mal. porque tuyo es el reino, tuyo es el poder, y tuya es la gloria, ahora y por siempre. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Alleluia! Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia.
The gifts of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
Please stand as you are able for the post-communion prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks for restoring us in your image and nourishing us with spiritual food in the sacrament of Christ's body and blood. Now send us forth a people forgiven, healed, renewed, that we may proclaim your love to the world and continue in the risen life of Christ our Savior. Amen. Deep peace, pure white of the moon to you. Deep peace, pure green of the grass to you. Deep peace, pure brown of the earth to you. Deep peace, pure gray of the dew to you. Deep peace, pure blue of the sky to you. Deep peace of the sun of peace to you. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always.
Amen. Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.